Today's scripture reading is from John 10, verses 1 through 18. In addition to your Bible, you may find it in the back side of your message notes, or beginning on page 767 in the Worship Bible. Please follow along as I read. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who was a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. This is the word of God.
Well, as I said, it's great to be home and to be able to be with you, and I so much appreciate all the work that all of you have done in my absence while I've been gone the last few weeks. But I'm really thankful to be able to be here, and it's just really great to be back among family and friends here at the Buffalo Chip, and great to see some of you who are new faces as well. We're taking a break from our look at the Gospel of Mark. If you're with us every week, you know that we have been studying the Gospel of Mark for about 4 or 5 months now. We're in the middle of the 6th chapter. But because of all the things that are going on for us right now, I wanted to take a break from that series for just a moment and take a look at this passage of Scripture, because there's some beautiful word pictures that I think are really important for us. There's some parallels between what's happening in this story, in this event in Jesus' life with his disciples, and partly of what's happening for us as well. As we pick up the story in the 10th chapter of John, we see that Jesus has been with the disciples for about 3 years now. And a brand new chapter was about to be written. Soon, he would give his life for his people. This probably occurs in around December or so of that year. And then the following April, he would have been crucified. So he's running down the home stretch, and he's beginning to train his disciples. New things are going to be happening. He wants to make sure that they are prepared for that. You know, in the same way, Ecclesia has been going for just about 3 years now, and we're kind of at a juncture. I'm not planning to get crucified anytime soon, at least not on purpose, I don't think. But new things are happening for us, and we're excited. We're embarking on some exciting projects, and so I thought it'd be good for us to just take a brief moment and to learn from this passage of Scripture some things that will be helpful for us as we sort of take a look at the year ahead. So you're ready? We don't have a lot of time, but I want to just briefly bring out a few word pictures for you. There are three word pictures that I want you to think about with me in this text. The word pictures, first of all, are shepherds and then sheep. Shepherds and then sheepfolds and finally sheep. So word picture number one, shepherds. In this story, we see that Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd. He tells the parable in the first 5 verses, and then he explains it in the next, he actually explains it 3 times throughout the rest of this chapter. He is the good shepherd. That's the first thing you can put about it. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. What Jesus is doing here in this very familiar passage is contrasting his life and ministry with that of all the political expectations which were prevalent during that time period. Everybody knew that change was in the air. Everybody was looking for a Messiah, a new king to emerge. And in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 34 in particular, and throughout the Old Testament, the kings of Israel are referred to as shepherds. It probably goes back to David, the great king, who himself had been a shepherd before he became the king. That king who wrote those immortal words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He recognized that the Lord was his shepherd and he was a shepherd of his people, and so often the king was referred to as the shepherd. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet condemns the shepherds of Israel because they are looking out for their own interests. They're not taking care of the sheep. They're not really taking care of the people of Israel like they would. And God promised that someday in that passage, he would come and he would return to his people and be their true shepherd. So when Jesus speaks about himself as the shepherd in that context in John chapter 10, he's making a very direct transference to say to these people, his followers, "I am the true shepherd. I am the true king of Israel." And he says, "I am going to lay down my life for the sheep." If you come to worship here at Church of the Chip, you see that we talk about Jesus all the time. We are intentionally very Christocentric. We believe that the essence of the gospel is not about a set of behaviors to try to affirm, or a club that I try to join, you know, or a creed even that I affirm, but it's about Christ. It's Christianity, not creedianity, clubianity, code of ethicianity. So often we think of the Christian faith as simply a very good set of moral and ethical principles. Well, of course the Christian faith has good moral and ethical principles, but so do many other faiths as well. Let's be honest about that. But what Christianity has is this story about Jesus, whom we believe to be not just a human being, but God walking among us, fully human, fully divine, who gave his life for us. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And when he grabs hold of us, no one can snatch us out of his hand. That's found at the end of that chapter in John chapter 10. In contrast to the other kings, whether it was the old kings of the Old Testament or even the current king, his name was Herod, who wanted to be seen as the king of Israel. Jesus is contrasting himself to these self-serving, self-satisfied, self-preserving kings and saying, "I am the shepherd who will sacrifice my life for the sheep. I'm not just a hired hand." So we see, first of all, that Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And you know, if you've not responded to that great story about Jesus who gave his life for you and rose from the dead for you, I implore you, consider Jesus. See whether he is the person that Christians believe him to be. And if he is, then bow down before him and give your life to him. Give your life to the one who gave his life for you, and your whole world will change. And you will go through tough times without being destroyed by them. You will go through beautiful times without becoming becoming idolatrous to those beautiful times. You will enjoy good feelings without having to chase good feelings all the time, because you have a purpose, a center, a North Star, and it's Jesus who loved you and gave himself for you. And you give yourself then for the world for which he died. Give your life to Jesus. That's word picture number one, the first part. But there's another word, part of that word picture about the shepherd, and that is Peter. So the first fill in the blank is Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. The next fill in the blank is Peter, the disgraced shepherd, who feeds and tends the sheep. Only a few weeks after this, or a few months after this, and you can look at it in John chapter 21 if you have your own Bibles, but it's a familiar story. Jesus has been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. Every so often he shows up. And one day, Peter decides he's going to go fishing with some of his friends. And as it turns out, they see the resurrected Jesus on the seashore. Peter runs on in to see, swims on in to see Jesus, you know, and Jesus is cooking. There's a campfire. It's appropriate here. They probably had smoke in that campfire too. And he's got some fish. He's made breakfast by the seashore for them that he's already made for them. And so they have this fantastic experience of being with the resurrected Jesus. And the Bible says they're all sitting around nervously, not knowing exactly what to say. Read the story. It's quite fascinating. When suddenly, after a while, Jesus says, Peter, I have a question for you. I often think that maybe Jesus took Peter aside. I don't know whether this happened privately or in public. Peter, I have a question for you. Do you love me more than these? More than what, we wonder? Was it more than the rest of the guys? Because he had earlier said, I love you more than anybody else does, right? Or it might have been more than these fish, more than this boat, more than your occupation. Do you love me more than anything else? But whatever it was, Peter now is very unsure about how to answer this question. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I am your friend. He didn't say, I love you. He said, I'm your friend. He chose a different word for love, a less personal word for love. And I think John, the gospel writer, does this on purpose. Why was Peter afraid to say this? Well, if you know the story a little more, what do you know happened? Peter had been the one who had denied Jesus when Jesus needed him most. Peter had claimed that Jesus could count on him, even if he couldn't count on anybody else. He said that, didn't he? And now here it is, Jesus' moment of truth. Peter is warming himself by another fire, not by the Sea of Galilee, but in the courtyard there. He's warming himself by the fire. It's dark. Off in the way is Jesus. He's been taken before the Caiaphas, the high priest, and Annas, Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, his father. And he's warming himself by the fire, and someone asks him, aren't you one of those follow Jesus? And you know how Peter responds. Who? Jesus? I don't know. Can you imagine that? He has failed Jesus miserably. And now Jesus is raised from the dead. Now Jesus is by the seashore. Now they're sitting by another campfire. And Jesus says, Peter, I have a question for you. Do you love me? Peter says, I'm your friend. And what does Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three times Jesus asks him the question, do you love me? Tend my lambs. And then Jesus says, are you my friend? Yes, I'm your friend. And again, feed my sheep. What is Jesus doing? He's taking this disgraced shepherd and he's saying, I know your love for me is not perfect. I know your history is not so great, but I'm still ready to trust you with the sheep for whom I gave my life. What a beautiful story that is. It gives me such courage because often I feel like Peter, and I'm your shepherd here today, right? I'm the one called to be the shepherd. In fact, the word for shepherd in the Bible, in the New Testament, is essentially the word pastor. You've heard of the idea of a pastoral scene. What is it? It's a shepherd scene. It's really a shepherd idea. And so Jesus has clearly left people to be his under-shepherds who are responsible for caring for the needs of the sheep. And so it is our responsibility and my responsibility to feed and tend the sheep. And it's been my privilege to do that here for the past 3 years. And I'm so grateful for that privilege because while my past is maybe not quite so checkered as Peter's, it still is true that there were times when I wondered whether I ever had the opportunity to share the message of Jesus' word on a public basis, on a regular basis, with the church family. So I know you guys give me lots of feedback to let me know that you enjoy what I do, but I have to let you know, you don't enjoy what I do as much as I do. I love being able to be your pastor. It means so much to me, that I have the privilege of serving you in Jesus' name. So together, we have the opportunity to be part of this church family. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, my responsibility is for the leading and the feeding of the flock under Jesus' authority. Scripture is very clear about that. In fact, Peter, later in the book of 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, he says to the other pastors, now be shepherds of the flock under God's care. So it's really important. So my job is to provide good leadership and to also provide good food. So that's what I try to do here on Sundays, to provide good food. And so this is why we're really excited about this Daily Bread Project. That's the fill in the blank there, the Daily Bread Project. I hope you will take whatever step of obedience you can to say, I am going to expose myself to this book, the most important book ever written, the most influential book ever written. I'm going to take some time to discipline my life to expose myself to this scripture. I hope what you will do is join us in a year-long adventure of reading through the Bible. And I will make sure that I help you along the way. I won't throw you out there. I'll help you along the way. But I hope you will do that, to be a part of the Daily Bread Project. That's something very exciting. Well, we see the word picture of shepherds. Next, we see this interesting word picture that I pulled out of sheepfolds. Sheepfolds. Look what he says. He who does not enter by the sheepfold, but by the door, climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. A sheepfold. What was this? This was a place where the sheep were brought to, for safety and for protection. The shepherd would lead them out during the day and bring them back in the sheepfold at night. And so there was this opportunity that they had to have a safe place to be gathered together. And so we see that Jesus protects his sheep in a sheepfold. That's the fill in the blank there. And so I want to invite you to consider how you can be a part of our own, we might call it the Sheepfold Project here, this opportunity that we have to personalize and beautify our own worship space. There's no need for me to say anything more about it, because Bud and Jimmy have already given you a hint on that, and we'll be hearing about it in the next weeks ahead. This is not going to be a high-pressure thing. This is purely voluntary, but we just want you to know that if you would like to help us personalize and beautify this space for the sake of Jesus Christ, so that our own sheepfold, it's interesting to me, right here is the bullpen, right? This is where the bulls have a safe place to be, and we're right next to it, so I just couldn't help but think, here we are, and we have the opportunity to create a space for us, and if you want to be a part of that, you be sure to ask as many questions as you can, and feel comfortable at whatever point you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of what we might call the Sheepfold Project, or the building project that's going to be part of the thing. And as I said, Bud and Jimmy have already done a great job explaining that, and they'll talk about it more in our breakfast time next week as you get a chance to know more about that. But that's a way that you can be involved with being a part of what's going on here at our church family. But there's something else that Jesus says. Look what he says down in the 16th verse. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, the particular application of this is that Jesus is talking about the fact that he is going to reach out to non-Jewish people. In Jesus' ministry, his primary ministry was to the Jewish people, the 12 tribes of Israel, so to speak, that he's calling them. But that was never the final result of God's plan. He wanted to reach out to the whole world and bring in the Gentile population, and so Jesus is speaking about that. But I couldn't help but think of the fact that there are more sheepfolds than just ours. And we had the opportunity and privilege to visit some church families down in Honduras that in the next few weeks we'll tell you more about, that were just so exciting to be a part of. And I was so grateful that Valerie was able to go with us on this trip and join that group. And so I've asked her to take the risk of sharing a little bit, and she's such a trooper. She's going to come up and say a few words. Okay, Valerie, ready to do that? Good for you. She's going to tell you a little about her experience, and I just want you to know that you were a part of this, not just through me, but through another person who's a part of this experience. So here you go, Valerie.
Morning. Can you hear me? Okay. I survived my mission trip to Honduras. That's the saying on the T-shirts for sale at the airport in Tegucigalpa. But I can summarize my mission trip experience in two words: powerful and joyful. As you leave the airport and drive to the mission house, the impoverished conditions that surround you are overwhelming. It's a powerful contrast to life here in USA. Homes are made from corrugated steel and concrete blocks, which resemble roadside shacks. Barbed wire is everywhere, on every rooftop, store, building, and wall. Every structure has barred windows, so you immediately lose any sense of security. Some walls even have broken bottles as an added measure of protection. Trash litters the road. Dogs roam wild, looking mangy, angry, and hungry. Armed policemen are prevalent, carrying assault rifles. When we delivered food baskets to two local women, I was dumbstruck at the conditions in which they have to survive. To reach their homes, they have to climb up a steep incline, which is rocky and uneven. They have a 2-foot concrete slab at their front door, and that's it before you can drop off the mountain. No baby gates, no fencing. How kids survived to puberty amazed me. Water is collected in a pilar. They only get water pumped twice a month for 3 hours. That's it. Whatever you collect in 3 hours has to provide for all your cooking, bathing, and laundry. And by the way, laundry is done on a washboard. It was a powerful lesson to me to really realize how truly blessed we are in this country and how much we take for granted. It was a powerful reminder to me to serve those less fortunate. In spite of all the poverty surrounding me, my experience was overwhelmingly joyful. We worked at a church in one of the poorest districts in Tegucigalpa. We fed around 80 children a day. We hugged 80 children every day. We shared crafts, songs, smiles, and a lot of love. I found out that peekaboo games and itsy bitsy spider are universally understood by children, no matter what language you speak. The children of Tegucigalpa, despite their poverty, radiated pure joy. They gave love as much as they received it, and it was an honor to be with them. When we went south and worshiped at two local churches, I have never experienced such a church service as that before. Every face was beaming, every soul was singing with unabashed joy. I have never in my life sang in front of a church, but with this mission team, I became part of a choir, and it didn't matter if I knew all the words. I sang as loud as the villagers with just as much joy. I will forever be changed by my experiences in Honduras. I formed friendships with the people of Honduras and was blessed to have a great mission team, the God Squad, who supported me and through our devotional time brought me closer to Christ. I will take with me with the knowledge that you can be happy with simpler existence and not it's not about the best car or wardrobe that matters most. And I will continue to search for ways to help and serve others and find joy in my daily existence.
I'm so proud of Valerie. She had was such a great blessing to our group there. And she was such a trooper. She just showed it to you today. Isn't that great? So, yeah, it was a wonderful experience. She just provided a great summary of that time together. And that's something that our church wants to be continuing to be involved in. And one of the things that we're exploring are ways that we can use maybe some of the monies that we're raising for our own sheepfold to help them down there. What do you think of that? You like that idea? Yeah. I really appreciate Valerie taking a minute to share her experience with that. So the shepherds, the sheepfolds, and finally the sheep. Well, that's you and me, of course. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the one who takes good care of us. And what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to respond to the shepherd's voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. The sheep hear his voice, John 10:3, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus comes and calls each of us by name, and we must respond in faith to that. What is it that Jesus is calling you? What is it that your shepherd is saying to you? Perhaps he's saying that you should be going on the mission trip the next time we go on one. Well, maybe that's the thing. You want to respond to that. We hope to make this an annual or semi-annual event. What is the shepherd calling you to do? Or maybe he's calling you to be a part of our own local sheepfold project. If so, respond to that as well. Perhaps he's calling you to be a part of this Daily Bread project of saying, I want to be a part of a disciplined year of seeking after God through his word. I want to be among the group who go with the shepherd each day to graze among the word of God as sheep's graze for their own grass, yeah, for their own nourishment, whatever it is. Or perhaps it is that initial call that you hear Jesus calling your name when he says, come on, I gave my life for you. Will you offer yourself to me? Will you place your trust in me? Yes, we are the sheep of his pasture. Let's respond in faith to him that we can say that we will follow him wherever he leads us. Let's have prayer as we close our time together. Lord Jesus, I'm grateful and incredibly thankful to be part of this church family. I thank you that we are already a called community, that we don't exist today because of some grand vision statement, some grand, development plan. In a lot of ways, we're just working our way through here, bumping against whatever you seem to open up, following the winds that you seem to provide as your Spirit leads us. And so here we are gathered on a January morning in the beautiful Arizona desert. And here is your word in this story about a God who loved us so to become one of us, to walk among us, to give his life for us, to rescue us. Father, I think of those sheep that I see here on Friday nights when they have bull riding. And I think about how dependent they are. And I ask you to remind us that we are dependent upon you too. Thank you that you love us. Help us to respond in love to you. If we've never responded in faith, may this be the moment when we place our trust in the one who gave his life for us. And maybe we be ready to do whatever it is you call us to do in the days ahead. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.